Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. Well, if you've been with us, we've been on a journey through the book of Acts, and really it's the story of the church. And maybe you just went to church when you grew up, and or you heard about the church, and you didn't grow up in the church, and you're like, well, how did the church ever happen? And so really it's told in the book of Acts. And Dr. Luke actually tells us, and one of the things that I like about this particular author is not only did he hear about it, but he was there. For a lot of the adventures, especially as you get in the later chapters of the book of Acts, Luke's is like firsthand going, I was there, you know, and this is how it actually played out. So it's an incredible story. But the question that I want to start with this morning is this, like, how did the church grow so fast in the first century? I mean, how did that happen? That, I mean, because when you think about it, all of the odds were stacked against it. There were so many obstacles to overcome. There was political resistance, because remember, this was the Roman Empire, maybe you've heard of it, and they weren't too crazy about any kind of uprisings or anything like that, or anything new happening in the way of another group. There was cultural resistance, and the word on the street was, hey, did you hear about that Nazarene sect? And these people, they believe in this guy named Jesus, they believe that he rose from the dead. And then there was the religious resistance that actually came from primarily the Jewish people, because they didn't, many of them, unfortunately, did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So they were persecuting the church. And then there was the racial barriers. We talked about that as well. And, you know, there was hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. And really, the walls just came tumbling down in among all of the Christ followers. So against all odds, the church continued to grow. And here we are 2,000 years later, and one-third of the population of planet Earth are Christ followers. Like, wow, how in the world did that happen? Well, just real quickly, let's go back to chapter 1. And remember in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus speaking here, and he says this to his disciples. He says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that is promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then we go to Acts chapter 2, and of course, there's 120 followers. And so they take Jesus serious, and they go, okay, Jesus, we're going to do what you told us to do, and we're going to hang out, and we're going to pray, and we're going to wait. And it all happens in one day. We call it the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit comes down on these 120 followers. Peter stands up. Now, you got to remember, Peter is like, this is the disciple. He was the one that Jesus said, you're going to, upon you, Peter, I'm going to build my church. You're the rock. But just 6 weeks earlier, he had betrayed, not betrayed, but he had denied that he even knew Jesus three different times. So moving forward, suddenly he's empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he stands up and he preaches a sermon of his life. And 3,000 people are born into the church that day. Just a few weeks later, in chapter 4, he preaches again, and now we're up to 5,000 people. So the church is just expanding and growing really, really fast by the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, we're going to, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to chapter 19. chapter 19, and I'm going to be reading from the NLT translation. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth. Now, so there's a new person who's introduced into the stories. His name is Apollos, and if you know anything about him, he became a great leader. He was a great teacher, preacher, and so he enters in. He becomes one of the church leaders. It says, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. And he asked this really important question. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And they replied, well, the baptism of John. Now, when he's talking about John, he's talking about John the Baptist. And Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues, and they prophesied, and there were about 12 men in all. So we don't have time to get into the nuances of what does it mean that the Holy Spirit came on them and that they spoke in tongues and prophesied. That would be a different message for a different day. But today we're going to talk about what happened and how, in terms of the Holy Spirit coming in, and how did that infuse the church with all this power and everything that happened for them to go forward. I read a book some years ago. In fact, I actually brought the book with me. I would highly recommend it. It's called Forgotten God, and it's by a guy named Francis Chan. You may have heard of him. And I love the title because Forgotten God, he's actually talking about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And the subtitle actually says, Reversing our tragic neglect of the Holy Spirit. Like, how does that happen? What, maybe you grew up in a tradition where the Holy Spirit wasn't emphasized or just wasn't talked about. You kind of heard it. If you got baptized, it was like we baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? But the Holy Spirit part of it was just like, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, whatever it is. And so we want to talk about that today. When we make a decision, first of all, to follow Christ, the Holy Spirit instantly comes into our life. He's released into our life. And again, I want to just emphasize, in case you know you're new to this, the Holy Spirit is part of what we call the Trinity. It is the third person. It is, some people call it part of the Godhead, or what I like to call part of the divine community. So you and I, when we become a follower of Jesus, we get invited into the divine community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But today, I want to speak more about the Holy Spirit. And the reason that I want to talk about the Holy Spirit is because, to a large degree, that's the story of the church. That's how the church became what it became, and it is even today. The story of the church is really the story of the Holy Spirit. And so here is the question that we're going to circle around today. The question is this: how will the Holy Spirit help me on my discipleship journey? How will the Holy Spirit help me on my discipleship journey? Now, I want you to know that, first of all, I was very intentional about the way I phrased this. I didn't say on my Christian journey, which, you know, you could say that too, but I talked about my discipleship journey. The other day I was reading from a guy named Mark Clark. He's a pastor in Sacramento and a guy that I follow. He's a prolific author and really just a brilliant mind. And he said something that's been messing with me. Ever since I read it, I just keep thinking about it. And he made this statement. He said, the word Christian is only used 3 times in the Bible. Did you know that? I mean, you use it all the time. It's not a bad word. It's a great word. But it's only used 3 times in the Bible. But he said, the word disciple is used 269 times, which I think tells us something. Well, you might say, well, what is the difference, Steve, between a disciple and a Christian? A Christian is a person who has, it's kind of the starting line of faith. You come and you go, okay, I'm going to commit my way to Jesus. I'm going to become a Christ follower. And this is the beginning of the journey. But a disciple is a lifelong learner. It's a student of Christ. And so that is a lifelong journey to say, not only am I at the starting line, but we're going to move. And we're going to move in terms of learning about Christ and developing our relationship with Jesus. Notice that if you go to Matthew 28, and there's a very, very famous verse there where Jesus, we call it the Great Commission. And this is right before Jesus makes his departure. And he actually says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Notice he didn't say make Christians of all nations. He said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. It's interesting that he says, make disciples, teach them, baptize them, which is really a little different than the whole get them across the line and make sure they're a Christian, and then, you know, it's all good, because it's not all good. And I'm wondering if one of the reasons that the American church is so anemic and so weak today, and so many people are leaving the church today, and the church, American church, seems to be shrinking, is because we have a lot more Christians than we have disciples. Because discipleship, that's where we're really committed to the Word of God. We're committed to Jesus, you know, and things like all the politics that are happening around us, they don't affect us as much, because we might participate in that and think, okay, you know, but we do it from a biblical, I'm following Jesus, I'm committed to Jesus perspective. And that really changes everything. One of the major accusations against the church, and it just breaks my heart, and God, just understand me, okay, I'm not like trying to come down on anybody in particular, but when you think about it, there are so many people that have been hurt by the church, that have left the church, that are done with the church. And one of the major accusations is there are people there, their life doesn't look any different than anybody else that I know. I'm like, wow, that stings. It ought to sting. When a coworker is working next to a Christian and they say, but his life, her life does not look any different at all. I don't know anything. I mean, I don't see any difference between their life and the life of all the unbelievers. I'm like, wow, what is going on? You see, the reason that the first century church grew so fast is because when they became a Christ follower, their life looked different. I mean, immediately. Everybody around, in fact, it was like a spectacle. People would come and they say, did you hear that Frank got Jesus? That, like, everything has changed. Did you hear? Did you see what's going on with him? Like, his whole life is starting to look different. And so I come back to that question, how will the Holy Spirit help me in my discipleship journey? And so, first of all, the Holy Spirit will give us power. That's the very first thing. And in Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. How many of you could use a little extra power in your life? You ever just want to, you know, you wake up and you go, man, I just need something. You know, I just need a little power. And that's the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason the church was able to explode with growth. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, you'll be my witnesses, which means something so dynamic will happen in your life that you'll, not only people will see the difference in your life, but you'll begin to talk about it in your life. I was 19 years old when I became a follower of Jesus. And I was living a pretty crazy life. And so I decided just to go all in. I said, you know, I'm just going to commit my life to Jesus. And, you know, I wasn't one of those people that the moment I came to Christ, I was standing on a soapbox preaching to people. In fact, I didn't do that at all. I hung out with a crowd that I was running with, and they were, you know, the big party crowd and everything. So I didn't really say anything at first. But I mean, just instantly, they went, what's going on with you anyway? And then I would tell them, I'd say, well, you know, I decided to commit my life to Christ. And man, I lived in this little town called Gilroy. You know, at the time, it was a really small town. And the word got on the street real quick. Hey, you hear about Bombachi? Yeah, he got religion. And it did look like something, because I quit doing drugs, and I got out of a really unhealthy relationship that I'd been in for a while, and everything about me, you know, just changed. And without me saying anything, everybody just like, wow. And you know, I quit getting invited to the parties for some reason. I don't know. I mean, I actually went to the parties at first, and they were just like, you're a drag, man. And just like, okay, whatever. And I picked up a new crowd. But everything in my life just began to look different. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, this is one of the things that happens when you and I become a follower of Jesus. It just says, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell or live in a church building, but in the people, the church. Actually, it doesn't say that. That's just the verse that is connected to it, but that's what it's saying. And so, when you and I become a Christ follower, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the reasons that Paul really emphasizes this. He says, so what are you doing with the temple? You know, are you taking care of the temple physically, emotionally, spiritually? Are you taking care? And what you do with the temple means everything, because we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to Jesus. This powerful thing happens. Have you ever wondered what a caterpillar thinks? Now, I know. Some of you are like, Steve, what have you been smoking, man? Just indulge me for a second, if you will, okay? So think about it. If you're a caterpillar, you know, you're like a worm with fuzz, right? And you're just like crawling around, you know, and eating whatever caterpillars eat. And then one day, you take a really, really long nap. And you wake up, and everything is different. You've got wings. You're looking at yourself, and you're like, I'm beautiful. You're not crawling anymore. You're like, I can fly. This incredible metamorphosis has taken place. And really, that's a picture of the Christian life. Suddenly, everything has changed on the inside. Now, it takes a little longer than the caterpillar. It's a journey, right? Like, we don't just instantly become everything that, you know, Christ wants us to be. But it happens in time. And so we literally become a new creation. But we can't do that on our own strength. See, this is the beauty of the Holy Spirit in our life. The Holy Spirit helps us to be able to do what we could never, ever do on our own human resources or our way of doing it. We tend to like, if you want to make a change, most of us just kind of white-knuckle it. Like, I'm going to make a change. I'm reading a book right now. It's called Atomic Habits. Anybody ever read that book before? It's a great book. It really is a great book. And I'm reading it, and I'm going, that's just great. But, you know, even as good as that book is, and it's like how to break bad habits and, you know, how to start new habits and things like that, a lot of really good information, I realize that there are some things that I cannot change apart from God. And there are some things that you cannot change apart from the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. I talk to people sometimes, and they'll say, I cannot forgive, or I can't get past my bitterness, or I just don't know how to love people. And the only way that's going to happen is by the power of the Holy Spirit being released into your life. So we get power. The second thing is that the Holy Spirit leads us into truth. Today, oh, wow, this has never been more needed than it is today. I mean, we've just come out of a two-year crazy time pandemic, worldwide pandemic, and there was all kinds of stuff that was being said, and people, I don't know about you, but I was confused half the time. I'm like, what is the truth? What is not the truth? You know, social media is going crazy. The news has all this stuff going on. And so I was really about the truth. Like, well, what is the truth? And then there was all the political stuff that was going on. Well, look at, in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when the Spirit of, and this is Jesus talking, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Our culture is changing faster than I've ever seen it change in my entire life. It's just things are happening so fast. And there's big questions that have to be answered right now. And as a Christ follower, a person, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Our question ought to be, so what's the right answer? And what is the truth? Questions about identity, sexuality, marriage, abortion, human rights issues, racial equality, and so much more. And like, who will guide me to the truth in this? And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will guide you to truth. Today, truth for all practical purposes in our culture is like, relative. It's like, well, you know, truth is like whatever you want it to be. You got your truth. I got my truth. You know, I'm living my truth. You live your truth. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that truth can be known. Remember, Jesus was the one who said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? It'll set you free. Not lies. The truth. Which means we want to live our lives according to the truth. The Holy Spirit will lead us to truth. But here's the thing. Are you ready for this? You got to be willing to accept the truth. You got to, even if it's an inconvenient truth, even if it's an unpopular truth, as a Christ follower, I'm going to talk about this next week. There is a price to pay for being a Christ follower. Jesus just laid it out there, okay? and it happens in the book of Acts. But if we're going to be truth followers and the Holy Spirit is going to guide us to truth, sometimes we're going to, I've been the same way, I'm like, oh, wow, ooh, man, that's a tough one. But I'm committed to following Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will give us what we need to be able to follow the truth. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit is working on our behalf. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit gives us power. The Holy Spirit leads us to truth. And the Holy Spirit is working on our behalf. So let me show you through some of the scriptures what's going on here. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will never abandon you. Isn't it good to know? Like, there's never going to be 1 second in your life where the Holy Spirit says, maybe a minute where he says, I'm taking a break. You're kind of on your own for this minute or for this day. No, the Holy Spirit will be with us. John 14:16, I will ask the Father who will give you another advocate who will never leave you. That's one of the titles of the Holy Spirit, an advocate. I need an advocate in my life. I mean, sometimes I'm doing great. Sometimes I just need somebody who's for me. And that's what an advocate is. The Holy Spirit helps us when we're weak. Romans 8:26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Go through a season in your life and you're like, man, I am not doing well. And the Holy Spirit is right there to help you to be able to deal with what's going on in your life. The Holy Spirit renews our mind. In Romans 8:6, it says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. I think we could call it, you ever had that stinking thinking going on? You know, in your mind, and you're like, I don't want to be thinking that way, but it's like, it's messing with my head. He said, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to peace, to life and peace. I want that. Here's a clue to that, though, how to make that happen. Read the Bible, because that's where the truth is. Just make it, get up every morning or every evening or wherever, whatever works for you, but find that time and read the Bible. This way, here's the thing. When the stinking thinking comes, or the lies that are being planted in your head or whatever, because you've read the Bible, the Holy Spirit can take that and go, no, here's the truth, boom. It's going to drop a truth bomb on you. But that's why you need to read the Bible, because you need to have that there. The Holy Spirit renews our mind. And then the Holy Spirit prays for us according to God's will. Now, I love this one right here. I mean, every once in a while, somebody come up to me and say, Steve, I've been praying for you. And I'm like, oh, wow, thank you so much, because I need prayer. But to know that the Holy Spirit is actually involved in praying for me, part of the divine community. In Romans 8:26, it says this. It says, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. I have had times in my life when I was praying for something and I did not know how to pray for it. You ever been there before? And you're like, Jesus, I need help here. And in that moment, here's what it's basically saying. The Holy Spirit kind of goes, move over, Steve. I got this one. And the Holy Spirit prays through me to the Father for whatever the perfect will of the Father is. So we're going to hit the bullseye. I don't know how to pray for it. The Holy Spirit says, I know how to pray for this thing. And so it prays through us, and then God's will happens. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. Did you know one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace? Love, joy, remember, peace, patience, kindness, all this beautiful fruit. They call it the fruit of the Spirit. You'll find that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But it gives us peace. We live in a very tumultuous time, don't we? And, if you're watching the news in the evening, I would suggest just don't. Just enjoy the night, man. Just relax, have a good drink, and just sleep well. Whatever. But I'm just saying it's difficult. And a lot of people are struggling. They're anxious, and they don't have peace in their life. The week before, my family and I, we were on vacation in Mexico, and it was a beautiful week. And, it was a Monday through Friday. So Friday, I get up, and suddenly, for the first time that week, I'm anxious. In fact, I'm stressed. And but you can read about, I actually wrote about this. If you want to get my Thursday word of encouragement, go to PacificLifeChurch.org, PacificLifeChurch.org, and you can be encouraged. I have an encouragement every week, so I'll tell a few things about it. So I got up that morning, and knowing that we're going to cross the border, and it just stresses me out to no end. First of all, if you're going to get to the San Ysidro border, it's just like I can never make it the way I'm supposed to. And I always get lost, which is terrible. And then when you actually get in line, you know that you're looking at a 3 or 4 hour wait. And that stresses me out even more. And so that morning, I was just stressed, and I was kind of wrestling with this. And I prayed. And as I was praying, I looked at this little devotional. And in the devotional, something was said that just put my heart at rest. And I was like, you know what? I refuse to get stressed about this. I'm just giving it to God. And I just got in this like place of peace. I'm like, it's all going to be okay, you know? So my wife and I took off, put the GPS on. You know, we missed every sign you could think of. Nothing was working. We went past, you know, we missed that border. We went past the Otay border, ended up over in Tecate border. And you know what? We got there an hour, and we got past the border in 5 minutes. And we were just like high-fiving. Thank you, Jesus. But I call it, you know, driving or being led by the Holy Spirit while I'm driving. It was just an amazing time. But the Holy Spirit wants to give us peace. So if you came in today and you're stressed out and you're a follower of Jesus, invite the Holy Spirit into that space to give you some peace. The Holy Spirit guides us. In Galatians chapter 5, 16, it says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." And maybe this might be something brand new to some of you. And you're thinking, well, when you say, like, guide your life, what do you actually mean by that? I mean in every aspect, in every category of your life. For instance, your career. Have you ever thought about inviting Christ into that? Where you're like, okay, you know, maybe you have a career already, or you're considering a new one, or you're still trying to figure that whole thing out. Why not allow the Holy Spirit to weigh in on that? Because the Holy Spirit might know something you don't know. So why not? How about if you're dating? Some of you are you're in that time of your life, and you're dating, and you're looking for a partner, and why not, you know, get, here's the deal, you're going to get special intel from the Holy Spirit. You will. You know, I mean, I remember, you know, before I got married, I was dating around, and like, okay, God, what about this person, what about that person, and the Holy Spirit's going to really, really help you with that. How many of you parents could use a little bit of help? You're like, can you please help me, God, you know, Holy Spirit, please, just show me how to raise this kid. You know, he or she, they're going through kind of a rough season. How about in the area of finances? Like, so what do we do with our money, and how do we spend, and how do we save? And all, the Holy Spirit will guide you in that. All the major decisions of your life. One of the great decisions that so many people are making right now is moving out of California. The U-Haul business has never been better. I'm telling you. But that's a huge decision, you know. Now, I would say, hang on, you know, don't get bullied out of California yet. But anyway, that's just me. You listen to whatever the Holy Spirit tells you. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. And I love this. In John 14, 16, it says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforting counselor like me, the Spirit of truth, to be with you forever." You ever have one of those conversations with yourself, and it's not a good conversation? Like, so I'm just talking, you're talking to yourself. I do this. Maybe I'm weird or something, but I do. I talk to myself. And usually it happens after something has, you know, I've stepped in it, said something I shouldn't have said, you know, whatever, and it all has gone wrong. And so I'm beating myself up. And have you ever noticed that, especially if you are a follower of Jesus, that when you're beating yourself up, the enemy jumps in too? He piles on and goes, yeah, you are rotten. Boy, did you handle that bad? You know, you're really a creep or whatever. And so in that moment, you know, that's a time to invite the Holy Spirit to be your counselor and say, hey, help me, you know, because I'm feeling pretty bad right now. And the Holy Spirit will come during that part of your life when you just really need help. And it'll help. He'll counsel you, be a counselor to you. I've got professional counseling before, and that was wonderful. But I've never had better counseling than what I get from the Holy Spirit, who just gives me some direction. And then invite the Holy Spirit, not only in conversations with yourself, but he'll give you perspective and peace and wisdom, but also every once in a while, this is so powerful, every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will reveal something to you. He'll give you revelation. So back when my son Stevie was 17 years old, and he's actually here today, I'm looking right at him, and he might remember this. Stevie and I were going through kind of a turbulent time in our relationship. Stevie was, you know, in kind of that season of rebellion, but I'm not going to throw him to the bus, because when I was 17, doing the same thing. So anyway, we were having a hard time getting along. And there was this mission trip that was going to come up, and it was a mission trip to Nicaragua. And I never told you this, Stevie, but I wasn't going to bring you, because you and I were not getting along very well. And I'm like, man, he's not liking me, and I'm not liking him, and this is kind of tough. And I was praying, and I wasn't actually praying about that. It's almost like the Holy Spirit just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, you need to bring your son Stevie. And I'm like, what? Why would I bring him? He's being a brat right now. But the Holy Spirit just kept going, bring him, ask him, bring him. And so I didn't even think that, Stevie, you'd say yes. Of course, I did throw that little thing at the end about we're going to surf over in Nicaragua too, so I think that might have been the deal. But I said, Stevie, you want to go? And he said, yeah. And I'm like, wow, okay. So here we are, we're on the plane and we're flying to Nicaragua. We're going to do this mission trip. And I'm like, huh. And we started talking. We hadn't really talked very well for a while. And we started talking, and it's like every day it just got better and better and better. It was such a powerful time in my life. And I think, it didn't fix everything. And Stevie, you can certainly recall this, but we were able to really start talking in a way we hadn't talked for a while. And as time would go on, there would be more challenges that Stevie and I would face. Today he's 35 years old and he's doing amazing. And we're like best friends. But that was a tough time in our life. And it was one of those things, and the reason I'm telling you this is to say sometimes the Holy Spirit will reveal something to you. And I'm so glad that in that moment the Holy Spirit revealed that to me, and that trip could not have turned out better. So I want to leave you with a question. What would your life look like if you got the Holy Spirit more involved in your life? What would your life look like if you got the Holy Spirit more involved in your life? So here's your homework assignment. Okay, you ready for this? I'm going to ask you this week, it's a one-week homework assignment. You can make it way more than that if you want. I hope you do. But this week, I want you to invite the Holy Spirit into your life in places where the Holy Spirit has not been involved or invited. And then at the end of the week, or whenever you feel like it, I'd like to hear from you. Just email me, steve@pacificlifechurch.org. And just tell me what's happened, because I can't wait to hear what God's going to do in your life. I can't wait to hear what the Holy Spirit, the role the Holy Spirit's going to play in your life. And I know it's going to be awesome. So let me pray for you before our worship team comes up here. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you comfort us, you counsel us. Thank you that you lead us to truth. Thank you that the Holy Spirit gives us a new kind of power in our life. And God, I pray for this church, that we would be the kind of church that people could look at us and they would want to come to, not be repelled by. We're not perfect. We don't live perfect lives. But God, there would be something so different about us in the right kind of way that people would be drawn to it. And it would ultimately be the Holy Spirit in our lives, the love that we have for others and caring. So in this moment, Lord, open our hearts to receive you in a greater way. May the Holy Spirit become a bigger part of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.